Hi, I'm Anjali.
And I'm Martha.
And welcome to Public Health on Duty, where we talk to some of the most inspiring young minds in the Philippine public health system. Join us as we talk to our guests about their stories, learn about their career journey, and chat about their wins and everyday challenges.
And our guest for today is a public health professional with extensive experience in health system strengthening and health financing in the Department of Health. On top of that, she's also a Chevening Scholar, taking up her Master's of Science in Health Policy, Planning and Financing from the London School of Economics and London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Sobrang big time pala ng guest natin today.
What? So she's currently in London. I cannot know. Reach talaga, literally.
Isa po siyang edukada.
Hindi pa.
Welcome to Public Health on Duty, Laura. So, Laura, I don't think we did you justice. So, do you mind introducing yourself to our lovely audience?
So first, hi, Anjali, and hi, Martha. How I missed both of you. So my name is Laura. I've been working in the health sector for around 9-10 years already. My work spanned starting from PhilHealth. So I did government first and then went into the private sector because I wanted to see and understand the other side of the world, which is where I learned most of health service delivery. Okay. And then I went back to government as technical aide of the Secretary of Health and then just worked for universal health coverage or the implementation of the Universal Healthcare Act. After that, when the pandemic hit, I was assigned to head the communications management unit. So essentially, yes, so I wear hats from private and public counterparts of the health sector.
Right. Okay. Right. So, Laura, essentially, sobrang big time ng ginagawa mong work back when you were in the DOH, no? But how did you wind up in public health?
Oh, wow. Okay. So, the story is that I was inspired by a Korean drama.
Wow.
I don't think I ever shared that with you guys, but I was entering fourth year high school in August. That was the time when we would take UPCAT. And I was thinking what I should do. I knew then that I should get into something like health or education because I come from a family where, you know, these things don't come in handy. I mean, you have to fight for it, right? So I said, I want to work on those sectors. And then that summer, I was vacationing at my cousin's house and there was this CD pa noon yun eh. As in, pile of CD na bawat episode ay may isang CD. Ganon. So, it's called Love Story in Harvard. And the story is about two lawyers na nag-aaral sila ng law sa Harvard. And then, of course, there's this girl, si Kim Tae-hee. So, siya yung kalaban ni Jodie sa Stairway to Heaven. Anyway, siya yung nagdo-doctor doon. So, basically, you know how old I am. So parang sabi niya, nagda-doktor siya doon, pero hindi clinical practice yung tinitignan niya. She's looking into going into Africa to help with the people with HIV or AIDS. And I said, I want to do something like that. You know, I'm a product of the public school system in the Philippines, diba? So I was thinking of, dati pa, you've been raised to think about the bigger problems of the world. But at the same time, I wanted something that's personal to me. So I know na, the way ko tignan yung health system has always been from the perspective na it should provide service to the people kasi I, for one, is a user of the system. My parents, my mom is going to be a user of the system. So, yun siya. I think yung gusto lang sabihin doon ay whatever, you know, whatever it is that inspires you. So, that's what inspired me to get into public health. Pero from then on, alam ko naman na yun yung gusto ko gawin.
Right, right. And you mentioned earlier that you were a product of the public health system in the Philippines. So you were from PSAI, right?
Yes. So public education. Tapos nag-UP because that's the only way we can afford education, which is sad. So there's a whole lot of discussion that we should be doing also in that area.
Right, right. I'm just curious, no? Were your classmates in PSAI also like you went into public health?
So a lot of my classmates were pioneers, so 33 kami graduate, very first batch from Ilocos Region campus. Most of them, some of them went into the BS Public Health program of College of Public Health ng UP, but most went into medicine. Kasi yun yung big thing eh. They went into clinical practice.
Tama ba? Intermed? Intermed sila dumiretso? Or some of them after public health, dumiretso sila ng medicine?
Some of them after taking my course, kaklase ko din sila, punta sila ng med school. And then even after pa, yung kahit hindi naman public health yung course nila, nagbio sila, ganyan. They went into medicine. I think out of 33 kami ha, more than one third of my batch became doctors.
Mm. Ooh, so you didn't consider going into medicine?
No, I didn't consider. Kasi una, I needed to earn money. Pangalawa, I never really saw myself doing clinical practice. Right. Tsaka I have best friends na mga doctor. I can just boss them around anyway. So, yeah. So yun yung nangyari. Kaya into public health. Pero it wasn't an easy journey kasi although inaayos naman na ng College of Public Health yung curriculum namin, or curriculum nun, pero it's really very clinical pa din, no? Very laboratory-based yung approach ng public health. Pero that kind of rigor prepared me naman dun sa mga ginawa ko na when I went into the public health sector. So my very first salvo in public health was under PhilHealth. I was a technical aide to the president and CEO. And most of the fundamental things that I know of the health system came from that. No? Until now, humuhugot pa din ako from that experience. So I was so lucky to be part of that team and to be part of that boss of mine.
That's interesting, you know, coming from a very clinical laboratory education and then moving into public health, working into PhilHealth. So, I mean, what was it like when you started working into PhilHealth? I mean, that must have been quite a transition for you.
It was. Kasi I don't know what I wanted eh. You know, yung mga kasabayan ko noon, nakaedad ko din naman. They knew what they wanted. They want to go organizational development. They want to go scorecards and everything. I didn't know what I wanted. Especially so that very science na eh. From my high school hanggang mag-college ako, kahit na yun yung pangalan ng course ko, very, very science talaga siya. So, ang nangyari doon was, kung ano yung assignment na walang kukuha, yun yung kukunin ko.
Wow.
So, which was parang, I was just open to it, no? Parang, nakakatakot, kasi parang, hello, nakakatakot siya. And that led me to help design the yung social health insurance educational series. So until now, it's still an operational thing that PhilHealth has been doing. So it's called PhilHealth Science, where we go to different stakeholders and explain what PhilHealth is all about. Because the truth is, ang hirap i-explain ng insurance sa mga tao. In fact, nung time ko na yun, hirap din akong intindihin siya eh. Kasi it's a concept of like securing your future. It's very difficult to explain that to Filipinos, at least. Ako din eh. Kasi parang, how do you explain tomorrow or securing the future when ang ipinaglalaban ng mamamayang Pilipino is yung kakainin niya sa buong araw?
Right.
So it's very difficult to explain why you need to pay for your contributions in PhilHealth.
PhilHealth has a large role also in raising the standards of care. And
that's true.
Maybe that's something that we need to understand better so that people appreciate the more tangible side of PhilHealth. How does PhilHealth actually influence the services, the health services that we get?
So I've done a lot of introspection while I'm here. And I feel like it's a chicken or egg thing, because what do you do first? Do you receive the contributions or do you expand the benefit first? I say, sabay mo siya gawin, di ba? In the ideal scenario. Pero, how do you encourage more people to contribute in the National Health Insurance Program is when they feel that there is tangible benefits to them. And what better way to do it than actually providing them services covered using the primary healthcare spectrum? Kasi that's your first contact to the health system, di ba? And in fact, it does not only target making you healthy. It keeps you healthy. It prevents you from getting to access higher levels of care, which in turn will make a lot of savings. No, it will create a lot of savings for the health system and for you as a person then. Kasi instead of you being treated for pneumonia, iti-treat ka na ng primary care provider mo. Iba-vaccinate ka na lang nila. So the chances of getting pneumonia and severe pneumonia, malilesen. So ganun siya. So I feel like if we want to do this, we want to make our contributors, no, yung mga tao, magkaroon sila ng tangible benefit. And the tangible benefit is in the form of providing primary care benefits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And that's a very powerful and practical way, no, of essentially telling Filipinos na, hey, you are paying PhilHealth because these are the things that you will be receiving in order for us to keep you healthy, no? So, hindi lang siya yung, okay, sige, may pupuntahan ako pag may sakit ako. Kunwari, di ba, nabuntis si Anjali.
Oh, no.
So, magpapa-
I doubt that. I doubt that very much.
Consultations, di ba, with doctor. So, may monthly check-ups, trimester. Tapos, pag nanganak na si Anjali, di ba, so, babakunahan yung mga chikiting. Di ba? These are primary care services, no? Or primary healthcare services that we should be receiving as Filipinos because it's our right, no?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess for many Filipinos, when they think about receiving healthcare, it's automatic hospital first. But that's actually not the ideal that we're trying to strive for with UHC. So we kind of have to invert the script and say that, you know what, you don't have to travel all the way to a hospital. There's supposed to be something in your community that isn't necessarily a doctor. Like, you can go to a nurse who can give you these services and can kind of navigate where you need to go so that you can stay healthy and, you know, avoid having to go to the hospital in the first place.
But we are also curious, no? And maybe you want to share as well to the listeners your experience in the private sector. So you mentioned kanina na you were curious to move to the other side of public health.
Right. So in the private sector, I was able to essentially have the exposure how to connect different parts of the healthcare provider network. So essentially, it's your service delivery network, no? So it's in the law that PhilHealth should be paying or the National Health Insurance Program should be contracting or negotiating with healthcare provider networks.
Right.
So this is the healthcare provider network essentially should provide the entire gamut of services that are needed, no, by a person in his or her entire lifetime.
Right.
So from primary care to tertiary care to specialized services. And the idea is that pag bulk mo siyang binibigay, mas maraming savings.
Right.
So that's the point of it. That was the idea in terms of providing services naman in the private sector na what should we be doing so that we can maximize savings. At the same time, we're able to future-proof our configuration because we knew then that PhilHealth or the National Health Insurance Program and UHC is moving towards an integrated delivery of care. So it was about future-proofing the configuration of the system. So that was my job there. My job there was to think of different ways, of different configuration, where your clinics are able to refer to higher level of care, where, you know, doctors are able to freely move around these facilities. So that's why we also tried in the Philippines, it's medyo mahirap siyang i-take in, but we tried doing that. We tried salarying doctors. So, under a payroll sila. So, but that's an entire different thing. But yun yung mga ginagawa dun. So, my job there was to do business development. In a way, it was rethinking how care should be delivered in an integrated and holistic manner.
Right. So, you were with the Office of the Secretary when the COVID-19 pandemic was declared. Since your experience also is both in the public and private sector, no, one of the biggest challenges during that time, no, is, as you mentioned earlier, how do we ensure that the healthcare provider network is prepared to essentially provide services during a pandemic, no? Ang daming nagkakasakit, ang daming nagte-test positive, no? And so, itong healthcare provider network na to, no, for COVID, in your experience in the Office of the Secretary, how is it conceptualized, no? And what makes it different from having just, you know, calling any hospital or going to any hospital or perhaps calling an ambulance, for example?
So, because we were working on universal healthcare law, what we did was we kind of used COVID as an impetus, to move or fast track the different aspects of the healthcare provider network, right? So, for example, in terms of the healthcare provider network, claro sa atin that we can't just build facilities agad-agad. So what we did was, we first began with one hospital command.
Right.
So in terms of one hospital command, it was essentially providing virtual services. So right. What you do is, people can call you up and then you can refer them. Kasi the thing is, dahil nga hindi nag-uusap yung primary care level facilities mo, your barangay health centers, essentially isolation facilities, etc. Dahil gusto natin maging patient-centric siya or centered sa needs ng patient, may matatawagan tayo.
Right.
So, kailangan namin ng ospital. But of course, it's not without its challenges. Kasi imagine, we're doing that, we're providing that service where a person can call and then they're provided with the appropriate response, whether papasundo sila sa barangay health emergency response team or yeah. dadalin sa isolation or dadalin sa ospital. No? It wasn't right. without challenges kasi wala tayong integrated system to look at the different hospitals. Eh.
Right.
Kung ano yung mga beds na meron sila, etc. Diba? So, but I feel like the one hospital command is a very important, starting point.
Yeah.
Oo, a starting point to really put in place a service delivery network or healthcare provider network na pwedeng tawagan at accessible sa mga tao.
Right.
So the way it was conceptualized was, beginning, I think gumawa tayo ng storyboard dyan. Kung pasyente ako, ano yung mga kauna-unahang tanong ko?
Right.
And then we mapped it out. When we mapped it out, okay, di ito yung mga kailangan, ito yung mga itatanong, ito yung mga kailangan nating i-prepare. So, and it's not just the DOH, kasi hindi yan kikilos eh. That's not going to be operational if it's just the DOH. We had to talk to the different, mula sa barangay hanggang sa probinsya. We had to have connections with them. And as we move towards, matapos yung COVID pandemic, diba? As we move towards really strengthening our health system, then these are the very scaffolding we can use to ensure that we can move towards an integrated system.
Right.
So the idea, at the heart of it, is to provide service. Pero ang importante din nun, so one hospital command, bago yan na-conceptualize, we also mainstream telemedicine.
For the benefit of listeners who aren't as well-versed with the healthcare provider network and anything, and to just kind of snap it into perspective of COVID. So when we talk about primary care in primary healthcare in COVID times, this is supposed to be, you know, like access to your vaccines, access to your isolation facility, your barangay health worker who comes in to check on you if you have symptoms. Those all compose your primary health care, right? And then
yes.
You have a system like the one hospital command, which is really trying to help you connect. If, for example, they find that, oh no, you have moderate COVID, you need to be referred to a higher level facility. So the temporary treatment and facility can't provide for the type of care that you need anymore, they need mm-hmm. to take you to the hospital, for example.
Yeah.
So the connection between the primary care units, the primary care healthcare workers who provided you that initial care, and then your hospitals, your specialized care, is actually what composes your larger healthcare provider network in a way that you can move around from facility to facility in a timely and appropriate manner without having to worry, am I in the right place? Am I getting the right type of care that I need?
Right.
So essentially what we did here was one hospital command became your instrument to create a nationwide healthcare provider network. In Dalo kasi, the healthcare provider network, parang at the level of the province, siya eh, kasi that's where we think economies of scale will be. No, hindi at yun, so may enough ka. So essentially, that was the role of the one hospital command to consolidate resources, to consolidate resources and say, okay, this one will need this resource, dito natin siya ibabato. But of course, sabi ko nga, it's not without its challenges because we were also underbedded na rin talagang Pilipinas from the get-go, even right. Without the pandemic, right?
True.
So, right. I think the heart of it all in terms of OHC, in terms of telemedicine, is providing service.
Right. It's very important, no, yung last thing na minention ni Laura, making sure na essentially these health facilities have the capacity to actually provide these services. So, kung kailangan ng oxygen tanks, kung kailangan ng remdesivir, yung mga investigational drugs for COVID, diba? Essentially, there's one system that ensures na, okay, we need to give it here because bumababa na yung supply nito here, or we need to give it there because bumababa na yung supply niya here.
Yeah, and you have a system that matches your patient to where they can actually receive the care. So that's a big factor.
Yeah, right. Kasi before, I mean, before the one hospital command, the reality is patients go hospital to hospital and hindi naman nila sure kung tatanggapin sila, di ba? Or they actually can provide or can receive the services there because no one is essentially guiding them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we hear of patients being turned away in hospitals, which shouldn't be the case ever. Like you mentioned it, health is a right. It's not a commodity.
Right, right.
Mm-mm. But of course, yung mga ganyan, nangyari pa rin naman, even with the one hospital command. Of course, we tried to alleviate the situation, but you cannot just build new hospitals overnight.
Right.
That's why you cannot just, have MDs, diba, graduate agad, diba? So, we tried to do the best we could.
Yeah, that's true. These things don't grow on trees. But I guess if we had like unlimited resources, you know, let's dream a little, what would you envision for a functional, responsive, and sustainable healthcare provider network?
Well, so ano ang sistema natin ngayon? Ang sistema natin ngayon ay ako, pasyente ako, pagpakiramdam ko, may masakit sa puso ko, didiretso ako sa cardiologist. Right?
Right.
Pag hindi ako na-happy dun sa sarabi ng cardiologist, pinipat ako sa iba. That's what you call doctor shopping, which provides or, kumbaga, is a source of one of the biggest inefficiencies in the healthcare delivery system. Right? So, the ideal scenario, at hindi lahat nakaka-afford ng cardiologist, diba?
Exactly.
Hindi man ako nag-doctor, ang dami kong friends na doctor, so, nagdo-doctor shopping ako sa kanila. So, anyway, only to find out, hindi naman pala, imagine mo ikaw as a patient, yung magtitingin, ano bang kailangan ko? Do you actually have the capacity to do that? Diba? So, akala mo, pupunta ka na sa cardiologist, yun pala, heartburn.
Right.
Diba? So, iba pala yung kailangan mo. So, in the ideal scenario of having a responsive healthcare provider network is someone with the expertise and ability to navigate and coordinate your care will be in charge of doing so. And that's right. What you call your primary care provider. So, they'd say, okay, punta ka dito. Okay, tinignan natin. Heartburn yan. Matitreat natin yan dito. Tignan muna natin kung kaya natin itreat at this level. Kung hindi, i-refer kita paakyat sa internal med. IM nga ba yun? For sure. So, pupunta ka doon, iti-treat ka nila, ibabalik ka nila sa primary care provider mo para continuous yung care na gagawin sa'yo. Tapos hanggang sa pagtanda mo dapat yan as you go through life. And the ability to choose your provider should also be there. So, hindi ka dapat naka-assign dahil lang napilit kang i-assign sa ganitong doktor. So, quality is also a very important aspect of providing responsive and sustainable healthcare. No, so kailangan based on your ability to meron kang fair amount of primary care providers na pagpipilian kapag nagkaroon ka ng pangangailangan, or, you know. So that's the idea of it. At the same time, from the user's perspective, yun na. Of course, iba siya from the health system perspective about expanding care, cost containment, etc. But it makes sense. This is the system that can actually align the agenda of the health system and that of the patient. So parang kung dito sa health system, ang idea is to, we have, because as you said, limited ang resources to contain costs. Syempre, ayaw mo na maging severe yung cases or yung sakit ng mga tao. Dito naman, sa user's perspective, kaya mo nga sila inaalagaan, kina-catch early on. Kasi ayaw mo nang mag-progress kung ano man yung meron sila. So it's the healthcare provider network, that functional responsiveness, the functionality and responsiveness of a healthcare provider network is something that aligns the agenda of the health system and that of the patients.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Well, going back, no, to the pandemic, no, and your work during this time, you're talking a lot about how the healthcare provider network is working, about the one hospital command, no, essentially the big role of primary care during this time. But of course, because this is a pandemic and we needed a lot of resources that are sometimes outside your health system, we needed a lot of non-health components to be able to provide care. So tell us more about the work that you did on this and essentially the bigger role of making sure that other sectors are on board.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good question. Kasi kung naalala nyo, diba, yan yung first fundamental questions. Dami kong fundamental dito sa discussion na to. But that was one of the
crises.
One of the major questions that we asked as a team before, diba, na hindi lang, I mean, we know that health is not just the role of the Department of Health, but this was really, kumbaga, exemplified, amplified by COVID-19. And we really needed to look at, you know, all hands on deck. And we began first with, I guess, the work that I did here was to look at different policies, no, fragmented, eh, di ba? Meron ka on isolation, testing, etc.
Right.
So, alam niyo yan, in OSEC, we challenged that, and maybe we should create like an omnibus guideline.
Right.
So, what we did was to provide, to look at it in a way na sinasabi natin, we're preaching integrated care, pero yung policies natin hindi integrated.
Right.
That's one. So, the second part is, sinabi natin na hindi lang DOH to. That's when we started doing joint administrative orders with the DILG, with DepEd. Kasi while the DOH has the technical capacity to say the BERTs should be doing this, etc. But because of the devolved nature, it's the DILG who has, kumbaga, influence or administrative, not naman control, but, you know, they have the connection, diba, to them. Mm-hmm. So we really needed to engage DILG and DepEd. So it's looking at the different, kung titignan niyo, it's not, I don't think they're non-health components, eh, but these are components pa din necessary to deliver health services. How transportation will work, diba, towards providing care.
Right.
I think what COVID-19 did was to provide us with a singular agendum. We need to provide care. Tapos, different hats.
Right.
So as DOTR, ano yung kailangan ko gawin? As DepEd, ano yung kailangan ko gawin? And then you have the IATF where all of these things are considered and agreed upon. So, ganun yung ginawa natin dito. Ang meron dito ay we have relationships that have been forged na pwede nating itap when we move on towards expanding it into the bigger agenda of universal healthcare. Second is that we learned that it can actually be done.
Right.
Now we don't have to work in silos.
Mm-hmm.
Na the DepEd or other departments are just one call away if we wanted to bring in something. And in fact, it makes more sense to do joint administrative orders than just doing it ng ikaw lang.
Right.
Because health is an encompassing thing.
Right. And napaka-important na, no, na we were actually able to build relationships with other sectors, other national government agencies. Because, I mean, after the pandemic, at the end of the day, health or factors that affect health can still be influenced by, you know, other sectors. Or there are factors that are outside of the health system. And I guess it's also a foot in the door in these sectors, no? Since, and essentially, like, having opportunities to collaborate mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah.
And it's not just about making opportunities. It has to be the rule more than just creating avenues. Because if you look at it, in your entire lifetime, siguro around 80% right. of your entire lifetime is actually influenced by your environment, the food that you eat, the information right. that you see, diba? Mm-hmm. And I think mga nasa 20% lang yung actual health services eh. So before you even get there, ang daming pagdadaanan. Do you have the proper housing environment? Do you get the proper health promotion materials when you're in school? Kasi alam natin that healthy behaviors start when we're young.
Yeah, actually, I think that's just proof that health exists beyond the four corners of the hospital. And we don't have to feel tied as, you know, public health professionals that, you know, if I want to practice health, I have to be in the hospital. It's actually a misnomer.
Right, yeah, right.
The world outside is so much bigger than that.
Right. And that's actually a challenge for us public health professionals, no? Being able to influence how other sectors also look at the health of the people, even if their primary mandate is, let's say, education or employment, etc., etc. So, for the listeners out there, no, public health isn't also just about, you know, providing health services. It's also making sure that all of society takes care of Filipinos' health.
Yes. Martha for president.
Wala po akong pangarap maging presidente.
Oo, maliit na bagay actually. Small portion lang yung health services. And in fact, parang if you have the right environment, you eat healthy, there's good housing for you, and you get like the primary care services, like preventive services, you might actually not be needing hospitalization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe a good way to sum this all up is for you to give our aspiring public health professionals some advice. Why should you join public health?
Number one, I think it really depends on what you want, what change you want to see in the world.
Right.
So, iba-iba tayo ng konteksto. But I would say that public health is a very, very, very good venue where impact can be felt. A lot of areas that need to, you know, that we need to work on. And of course, hindi ako magpapaka-plastic, no? Kasi marami din na public health graduates yung kailangan nilang magsustento ng pamilya nila, di ba?
Yeah.
But I guess I'm also proof, di ba, na kahit na nag-pay cut ako from private at bumalik ng gobyerno I was blessed to have the at least capacity to still be sustaining my family. Syempre, marami kang mga kailangan isakripisyo.
Right.
But if you're willing and you're willing to put the hard work in it, you can find ways naman. So it's also timing of your life. Syempre, nung nag-shift din naman ako sa pabalik ng gobyerno, tapos na yung dalawa sa mga kapatid ko.
Right.
So, and then number two is, I know your, number three na pala ako, know your value system. No? Right. In public health, our biggest value is based on our integrity. So never compromise integrity. Never compromise integrity. So many things you can compromise on, like parang, anong itatawag sa facility na to, anong services yung dapat i-cover muna natin. Yan, pwede, but not your integrity. Never give people the notion that you can be swayed otherwise.
Right.
And put in the work. And I think it's going to be, I believe it's going to be very, very rewarding. Kasi, and find the right boss. That matters.
So kapag nag-interview kayo, tanongin nyo sila, nurturing po ba kayo?
But, iba-iba ang klase ng pagiging nurturing.
Of course, of course.
Tanungin mo yung love language nila.
Totoo. Ano po yung MBTI nyo?
Correct. Ganon. Yeah. So, yun lang. I hope I imparted something naman na may sense dito.
Of course, no. And that is actually our last question. Thank you so much, Laura, no, for gracing us with your time. I know you're so busy.
Can I just add one more pala?
Yes.
Na lagi nating nalilimutan as policymakers.
Ano yun?
As policymakers. I had this session with one of my professors and it really hit me. It stuck to me until now. Sabi niya, if you're creating or designing a policy, one of the questions, more most important questions you should be asking is, who is at risk of not receiving care when this policy gets implemented?
Right.
Kasi we always think about who's covered eh. Ah, kita yung ma-cover eh. But we don't think about who is at risk of not getting that care.
Who gets left behind.
Yes.
So,
thank
you so
amazing.
Much.
Amazing. Thank you so. No, thank you, Laura. Thank you for joining us here on Public Health on Duty.
Yeah, we could not be more grateful for your time, Laura. And as usual, we're delivering specials from Dr. John Wong's book club. So, you know, this episode, Laura did talk about, you know, thinking about who gets left out and who gets what type of care. So we have two books from Dr. Victoria Sweet, a doctor, professor, and historian who sought to revolutionize the way we think about healthcare. So first, we have God's Hotel, A Doctor, A Hospital, and A Pilgrimage to the Heart of Medicine, which recounts Dr. Sweet's experiences in Laguna Honda Hospital, a chronic care facility that transformed through the years from a slow but empathic space to what we might call an efficient modern facility. And it's a great insight on what it takes to care not just of the body, but of the soul of a person.
Right, right. And if you want to learn more about this brand of healing, we'd also like to recommend you Dr. Sweet's other book, which is Slow Medicine, The Way to Healing. So Slow Medicine gives a way to a more attentive, more human-centric way of treating patients. As we were discussing earlier, it's about taking time to create relations instead of speeding through diagnoses and treatments.
Yes, let's go human-centric care. Let's all aspire to be that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Health on Duty. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Public Health on Duty is a joint production between Epimetrics Inc. and Big Baby Studios. Dr. John Q. Wong is our executive producer. Editing and hosting by Anjali Magdaraog and Martha De La Paz. Our producers are Abigail Tan and Antoinette Mendoza. Sound engineering and original theme music by PV Nicolas.
You can find out more about Epimetrics at www.epimetrics.com.ph or at EpimetricsPH on Facebook and Instagram. This has been Martha. You can find me on Instagram at _callmemartha.
And I'm Anjali. I am not on social media, but you can catch Martha and me on the next episode of Public Health on Duty.